take your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. I'm sure this message is for someone here. God always does that. But sometimes I think it's for me. And I don't know, have you ever had things happen and you ask the question, why me? Yeah, why me, Lord? Well, I don't think we're alone. That doesn't always make it easier. But it's often the first question we ask when tragedy strikes. And for some of us, the same question pops up when we have a flat tire, or we get sick, or we're caught in a freak rain shower. Why me? But somewhere along the way, we've become convinced that life is fair, and it should be good all the time, especially if you're God's people. Life just ought to be good and fair all the time. But I'm just going to tell you, it's not fair. And sometimes it makes no sense whatsoever. I love going to Pigeon Forge. I know it's a tourist trap. I get all that. I just try not to spend my money and just enjoy what you can see. I'm past Dollywood. I can't do that. They have things that go upside down. And with my vertigo, I just stay spinning. So that's not fun for me anymore. When I was a kid, I thought it was fun to ride something till you puke. Now I just look at it. So, yeah, I'm that old. Well, it was hard. When I was a kid, we were dodging dinosaurs, you know, for fun. But life isn't fair. But I do like going to Pigeon Forge. If you ever eat at the old mill, how many of you ever eat at the old mill at Pigeon Forge? Several of you, okay. Well, you know, this half needs to get saved. This half's not. The old mill is right on the river, and it's right on the main drag. You can't miss it as you head down out toward the park. It's on the left. If you go around back where you park to go in that unbelievable line to get in, if you stand with your back to the river, and you face about like this and point, there's a pottery shop there. And I've been by it a lot of times, Lisa, but I've never gone in. What I decided to do on probably about my 3 or 4 trips ago, I decided to go in there and look. And they had all this stuff that cost too much and all that. Well, I walked straight past all the stuff that cost too much, and I saw this dude down there, and he was making pottery. And if you've ever watched it, it's fascinating to me. And I watched this guy, and what he would do, first thing he would do, he'd have some clay, and he'd start mashing it. And then he'd start beating it. And then he would turn around, and he would throw it on a wheel. And then the wheel starts spinning. He'd get his hands wet, and he'd get a hold of it, and he'd start shaping it. And he had this big old chunk of clay, but then all of a sudden he kind of whittled it down until it was like this real gentle-looking vase. And I saw him put his thumbs down in it so he'd make a hole in the middle, and it was nice and pretty. And I was watching him, and as he stopped, I was wondering, what is he doing? Because he took a piece of clay and put it over the hole on the top. And I thought, you can't get anything in there with the clay. I don't mean it wasn't a lid. It was, like, attached to the top. So I'm thinking, does this dude really know what he's doing? And then he took a knife, and he cut a circle out in the side of it. I said, he went through all that trouble. He beat that clay. He put it on the wheel. And he took his time. It's real pretty, real beautiful, beautiful. And then clogged up the stopper and cut a hole in the side of it. I had to stay. I had to see what he was doing. Well, I stayed for the whole thing until he got ready to put it in the kiln. And I figured out what he did. I am so smart. I figured out by looking on the shelf next to me where when it finished in the kiln, they come out and they put it on the shelf. You put wax in the top and a candle in the bottom. It was a candle warmer to give off the scent. And you put it in the heat. And I thought, now that's genius. Now you may never thought this, but you and I in the Bible are referred to as being clay. And God is referred to as being the potter. And sometimes it looks like he makes no sense in what he's doing. But I want you to know, before I start, he's got a plan. He wants to take and make something beautiful out of a lump of dirt that'll give off a beautiful scent for him. So look with me, if you will, in Isaiah 64. And look down at one verse with me in verse 8. But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou our potter. And we all are the work of Thy hand. Why me? The next time you say that, understand this. First off, God has got a plan, and He's got a purpose. And what looks unfair to you and makes no sense makes perfect sense to Him. Let's pray. Father, I bow before You. Thank You for the privilege of being here in Your house today. What amazing music we've heard, that ministry and song. Thank You, Father. We appreciate those that do that. And God, we thank You for the time we've got before us. But You know my heart, God. I don't want to be a pointless, powerless preacher. I don't want to stand up here and just fill time. I want to be a blessing to those that are here. And I am asking You that You would just anoint me to do so, to be a blessing. That God, when we leave this place, we'll know that You met with us. That You brought a word for us today that we needed. Now God, I don't know who needs this besides me. But surely there's somebody here that even recently, over something in their life, has said, "Why me, Lord?" God, I'm asking You that You would meet that need, that wonder, that question in their heart. And help, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Christian life can often feel like we're on the potter's wheel. It's spinning, we think, out of control. But really, the potter's at the wheel. Don't ever forget that. Deep down, we think that following Christ, though, should give us special immunity against trouble. We're like Peter, who tried to remind Jesus when stuff started getting tough, and he said this, he said, "We've left everything to follow You." It's funny how Peter would try to use that as a bargaining chip, and sometimes we do too. But I'm here to tell you, just because you've trusted Christ doesn't mean the road's not going to get rough. Doesn't mean it's not going to get rougher. It doesn't mean it's not going to get really bad. But in the Bible, it compares our lives to being like a lump of clay. And that God, our Father, is the potter. And I will say it more than one time today, and I will even have you repeat it after me, so that we get this thing down. He is the potter, and I am the clay. Say it with me. He is the potter, I am the clay. You got a point. It won't work unless you do that. He is the potter, and I am the clay. He is the potter, and I am the clay. And maybe what happened when disappointments happen, we're saying, "Why me?" But I think really we're asking the wrong question. When you say, "Why me?" you really ought to think this thing through, because God knows how stinking mean you really are. You ought to be saying, "Why not me? Why not worse?" But hear me. God is a God of love, and He's a God of grace, but He doesn't put up with junk either. And just because you're one of God's children, you've got to understand, there's no guarantee you're not going to go through junk and have junk in your life. As a matter of fact, I can guarantee you will. I know people that quit following the Lord because they had this weird misconception that everything would be great when they gave their heart and life to Jesus. And then when life kept happening to them, they said, "Well, this is no different than before I came and asked Christ into my heart." No, you just don't understand. I would rather go through the junk with Jesus than without Jesus. Amen? Now you have that choice. But there's some things I want us to understand about this, that why it happens. Sometimes it's for me. It is. Sometimes it's for me. Sometimes it's because God's got to get my attention. God ever had to get your attention? He can do it. C.S. Lewis said this, "Pain insists on being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciousness, but shouts in our pains. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Pain corrects us. In Hebrews it says, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful, but afterward there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in the way. Pain changes us. It makes us better or it makes us bitter. It cleans us. It centers us. It corrects us. Now, I don't know, but let's just enter into the mindset of a lump of clay today, okay? You're cool. You're in a nice, cool shell. You're talking to your clay buddies and everything's fine. Hello, Mr. Hill. You're talking to your clay friends and everything's good in your life. Now, us older folks know who Mr. Hill is. And so he was a claymation character back in the ancient days. But you're talking to your friends and it's nice and cool on the shelf. Then all of a sudden, you see this dude, he's got these huge hands, comes up to your buddy you're just talking with and grabs him off the shelf. And buddy's going, whoa, 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 whoa. And he can't stop. He keeps going. He goes into another room with your buddy, and he can hear in clay talk. He's hearing, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, that hurts.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Mr. Bill. Let me do that. The youngins don't know who Mr. Bill is. You have to Google it, okay? Not now. And so, all this weird noise, and because he hears whining and complaining. Well, now, the guy that took him can't hear anything. So he's not real savvy. He can't, at least he acts like he's not hearing everything, because here's what he does. He goes, and so you kind of trying to peek, and all you can see is part way into that room, and you can see the back of the dude that took your buddy, and you see him going like, boom, with the clay. You're like, whoo, and you hear your buddy going, ooh. And then you hear the machine start up, and you see the guy's back, and he's bending over, and you see him moving his arms, and you can hear zzz, 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 zzz. And all of a sudden, you can't hear your buddy anymore. He's stopped. Then you see the guy step back, and he looks at it for a second, shakes his head, and walks over and picks up, and you hear, boom, again. And you're wondering, what in the world is going on? Then it's your turn. It's your turn. Comes and gets you off your nice, cool place. Man, you just got settled in good, making a nice water stain on the shelf from your wet bottom, and you're right there, and you're good to go, and comes, and all of a sudden, boom, he picks you up off the shelf, off your good place, and as he starts walking, he starts mashing you. Mashing you. Squeezing, you're kind of like, whoa, whoa, hey, wait a minute. What are you doing? And not only is he mashing you, then he takes you in, and he throws you down, and he begins to pound you with his fist. Then he looks around on you and he watches. And he reaches in and he pulls out a little teeny stick. And he throws it aside. Then he beats you again. And then he reaches over and he pulls out a little rock. And he throws that away. And he beats you again till you're flattened out. Then he rolls you up and he puts you on there. Then the spinning starts. And then he gets you all nasty wet. And he squeezes you and he shakes you. And the whole time, he seems like he can't hear you. You're hollering, stop! This hurts! Hey, quit this! But you know what's really the clay's fault? Because as they sat on the shelf and they looked across the shop, they saw these beautiful vases. They saw these wonderful bowls. And they said, look at that. Boy, I sure would like to look like that. Boy, I'd like to be useful like that. Well, let me tell you what it takes. It takes being thrown on the wheel. It takes being pounded and pummeled and beat. You see, to us it makes no sense. But if you've ever worked with clay, and I have some, and I'm telling you what they're doing, is you've got the first thing you've got to do is you've got to make it pliable so that you can work it. Because you see, you can't just use just a lump of clay like it is. It's too stiff. It's too unyielding. You can't just throw it down and start making a bowl out of it. Even as a kid, you learned with Play-Doh to get it to work. If you're going to make a snake, you've got to warm it up and you've got to round it and work it and smush it and shape it to get it to do anything. And here's the thing. We look at people who are Christians and you say things like this. Boy, I'd like to be like that. We recently talked about Miss Ella going home and who's going to be a prayer warrior to take her place. Now, if Miss Ella was here, she would not, I'm sure, that it wasn't an easy road to get to a place where you become a prayer warrior. See, everybody sees the finished product, as it were, or the semi-finished product, but nobody sees what it takes to make you that. And one of the first things that the master does as the potter, he begins to take the clay and he shapes it in his mind. He already sees the end at the beginning. And he already sees what he wants you to become and who you're going to be. And he sets about with a vision you don't have. And he starts shaping it. And you're crying out, God, what are you doing? Do you know what's going on? Why me, Lord? And the whole time, He is working you to make you something amazing if you'll let Him. Then the beating starts. Oh my goodness. You thought it was enough to get squished and rolled up, and now all of a sudden, pow. And then He starts pushing and he feels something in there that shouldn't be in the clay, and he pulls it out and throws it aside and something else, because he knows that if he puts you on the wheel and it begins to spin and there's a little stick or rock in there, it will mar the entire vase. It will cause it, really, it can cause it to be cut right in two. If there's a piece of straw in there the wrong way and he's got it shaped and it's all bent, it's starting to look like a beautiful vase. And then his hands catch the edge of that piece of straw. It'll work like a razor and slice that pot right off. So before he gets to that point, he pulls it out. And I'm telling you, in our Christian lives, the reason God is working on us is because He loves us. And part of the process is cleaning us up. We are like little kids spiritually. Leave us alone and it gets quiet, you better watch out. The little monkeys are up to something. Aren't they cute? Till they get teeth. Let me tell you something. You got to watch them. I've had mothers say, well, I knew something was wrong because it got too quiet. Y'all been there, haven't you? I'm telling you, they're little monkeys. You got to watch them. But you know what? We're the same way. We get off by ourselves and we think nobody sees, but God sees, and He realizes there's a part in our life that before we can become who He wants us to be, God's got to get it out. And the only way He can sometimes is through a little pounding. It's not because He hates us. It's because He loves us and He wants to make us into something amazing. And so what He does is He sees the imperfections you and I can't see. We either don't want to see them or we can't see them. We love pointing out everybody else's mess ups, don't we? That guy drives like a jerk. He pulled right in front of me. Then when you do it, you go, oops. Some of you are nightmares on 24.
Every day.
And you've seen them. But listen to me. Sometimes the reason it happens is because I'm the clay and God is trying to do something for me. I just don't see what it is and it doesn't make sense. So I like to use the seventh grade term, that's not fair. I told you as a school principal, I used to tell kids, that was their favorite thing from say sixth grade on up. Some maybe fifth grader. They would go, that's not fair. And me being the compassionate soul I am, I would look them in their cute little eyes and I'd say, life's unfair, then you die. You say, that's true. Life's unfair, then you die. Let me tell you, it's true. Because we don't understand everything on this side. There's some things that we have to trust God knows what He's doing, even when we don't. Sometimes it makes sense in this life. We'll go, that's why that happened. Then there's other times we never see that. We never get that answer. But I want to tell you, as your pastor and as knowing the Word of God, there's coming a day when God will explain it to you. It'll all make perfect sense. Walking by faith is not an easy road. Jesus said it was the narrow way. The word narrow is the same word in the Greek for tribulation. Bible even says, hey, we will enter into heaven through much tribulation. And then when tribulation comes, we go, why me? Hello? We were told, if I were to do anything, when somebody kneels at this altar, to make it kind of truth in advertising, it's a danger ahead. Rough road ahead. Just because you give your life to Jesus doesn't mean the road's going to be easy, because He is the potter and I am the clay. He sees a plan that I don't understand, and I have to trust Him because His hands are bigger than mine, His vision is better than mine, and His plan makes more sense than mine. But it doesn't always make sense to us at the time, does it? Sometimes He's trying to clean us up. Sometimes He's trying to center us on the wheel. Sometimes He's picking us up and slamming us down because we're kind of drifting off to one side. If you've ever worked the wheel, you understand what I'm saying. If it's not dead center, that pot will wobble. You can't make anything but some kind of weird, freaky, new age thing, which you probably sell on Antiques Roadshow for $20 million. Anybody else watch that show besides me sometimes? Okay, you know, thank you, Ellis. You're the youngest one who even watches. Good. Good man. Because that's because he's going to keep his eye open to find that painting or that table that's worth $12,000, right? I look at some of the stuff that's on there. This guy brings in something. Now listen, I'm not trying to be ugly, but it looks like somebody dipped their cat in paint and slung it against the camera. And the cat went nuts. Then they messed it up. And they'll go, oh yes, this is Gauguin's first attempt at drawing when he was in preschool. It's worth $30 million. How much did you pay for it? $2 in peach corn? Yeah. See, we're like the people that in our lives that come into the Antiques Roadshow, and you have no idea how much you're really worth to God. You are worth so much to Him that He gave His Son to die for you so that you could experience His plan and that you could be part of His plan, remembering that He is the potter and I am the clay. The problem is today we live in a world, it's all about me, all about what I want, all about my plans, all about my goals, and I'm here to tell you the real world ain't put together like that. You want to see something funny, and don't do it now, Google a millennial job interview. It is hilarious. This young girl comes in, there's an older guy there who's the owner. She's just interviewing. You got to watch it. It's like people today. He basically says you start work at 8 in the morning. I don't get up before 10. That's not going to work for me. She's trying to get the job. But that's the way we are with God. Now, God, I'll serve you as long as nothing goes wrong, everything goes my way, or you get the highway. I want it to go this way, and this way. And I'm just going to tell you up front, the sign says danger ahead, rough road. Because I'm telling you, when you decide to follow Jesus, you are going against the culture of this day and the enemy that lives in this planet that wants to destroy you. Satan does not want you to make it. Because he knows this. The plan the potter has for you affects other people in the shop. They look at your life and see what the devil doesn't want you ever to become is that gloriously beautiful vase. He doesn't want you to be that. Outside of a potter's house, Jeremiah writes of it. And I want you to listen. You don't have to turn, but I want you to listen what Jeremiah says about it. He said, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, and seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. What is he saying? God's people, listen up. We're the clay on the wheel. He's the potter. You don't decide. He decides. What our job is to surrender to his hands. and let Him make of us who He wants us to be. To follow His plan. To be obedient to His will. You see, praying is not trying to get your will done in heaven, but to get heaven's will done on earth.
Amen.
Thy will be done. Thy will be done. And the thing is, we get it totally backwards. Well, some of these televangelists make you think it's all about you praying for a new Cadillac or a new house or a new this. Let me tell you something. That is, God does not give a rip about that stuff when it comes to your spiritual life, because He knows a lot of that stuff will impact your spiritual life negatively. Some of the things you think if you had, you'd be happy, you wouldn't be. The only thing you get if you hit the lottery big, by the way, is a bunch of new relatives you didn't know you had. They will come out of the woodwork. I'm your great, great Aunt Mildred. I pinched your little fat cheek when you were a kid. I wouldn't give her nothing. Cheek pinchers are dangerous. But we look at God and we expect that God, what His job is, and if you listen to some of these folks, they'll think that God's job is to jump when you snap your fingers and do what you want. Say with me, He is the potter, I am the clay. He is the potter, I am the clay. And when we get that settled, it'll help when you have one of those days. Try this next time. Instead of, why me, Lord? Okay, God, what do you want to do here? Because sometimes it's for me, but sometimes it's for others. Sometimes I'm going through it because, you see, a lot of times that potter, he's not doing it for himself. He's being paid a commission by a client to design something specifically for someone else. I want you to get this. Sometimes what you and I go through, it's not about us and it's not for us. It's about somebody else. Because God already knows that you're going to be faithful and walk for Him. And so what He'll do sometimes, He'll lay something on you, not because He hates you, but because there's somebody over here that He wants to help. And the only way they can get help is to see a living, breathing example of a person that's walking hand in hand with God through the fire. And so what God does, He allows things to come on you and me sometimes, not because of us. We're doing what He wants us to do. Well, we certainly think it ought to be fair then. If we're doing all the right stuff, all good ought to happen. Tell that to Job, who was doing all the right stuff in the Old Testament. Talk about hell on earth breaking loose. His kids were killed. His houses destroyed. His flocks scattered or killed. His whole life decimated, and he had no clue why. But there was a contest going on in another realm that he didn't see, where Satan told God, you let me at his stuff, and he'll curse you. And God said to him, you can go ahead and touch his stuff, but you can't touch him. Job knew none of that. He just got word one day, and a servant came running up and said, Job, everything's gone. And he goes, well, what do you mean everything? I mean everything. Your house, the flocks, your children, they're gone. How'd you like that gut punch? And all you did was serve God. Serve God. You prayed. It says in the book of Job that on a regular basis he went before God and prayed for his children and prayed for them. He was a man that loved God, and in the middle of it, everything he had was squashed like a bug. Why me? Did Job say that? Believe it or not, he did. He spent the last half of the book of Job questioning God. God, why'd you do this? And the funny thing is, as I've said recently, he doesn't tell Job why. But what he does do, because of Job's faithfulness, well, let me finish this. Squashed his stuff. Did he curse God? Somebody tell me. Nope. Even his wife, she wasn't in the house when it fell. Listen to what his wife said. Ladies, please help be an encouragement to us. Here's what she said to him. Job, why don't you just curse God and die? She must have wanted the insurance money, bud. Just curse God and die. That was his wife. So the only person he had left on the planet ought to help him was trying to push him in the grave. His whole life was falling apart. And then Satan comes back to God And God says to Satan, says, how'd he do? He said, well, listen. A man will kind of, you know, he might get kind of hurt to crush his stuff. But I'll tell you what, you break his health, he'll curse you. And God says to the devil, you go ahead and you break his health, but you can't kill him. By the way, who does that tell us is really in charge? He is the potter. We are the clay. And so, Job doesn't know any of this. And then all of a sudden, boils start breaking out on his body. From top to bottom, literally. And the only relief he could get was from the ruins of his own house, broken pottery. He would take the sharp edges of the pottery and he'd lance the boils to get the pressure out. You say, man, that's nasty. You have no idea. No antibiotics, no natural medicines, nothing like that that they could work with to do any good where he was. It was from the bottom of his feet, top of his head, all down his arms, nasty boils, and he was scratching pottery to pop them to get the pressure off so he could try to get some relief. And yet the Bible says, yet he did not curse God. It doesn't give us a bunch of answers, but I'm going to tell you what. How many of you have ever been encouraged by Job and what he went through? Raise your hand. Even this morning. So sometimes you go through it, not because you did something wrong, but because God wants to use you as a special vessel to help millions of other people. And this, by the way, Job is one of the first books written in the Bible, if you put it in chronological order. This goes back a long time before Jesus. And all the way back and even through today, we are still being blessed by what Job went through, and I want you to get the key, he went through it. The psalmist said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The pain, the hurt is not the end, friend. If you'll be faithful and hang in there, you'll go through it. Sometimes it's not for me. Sometimes it's for others. The Bible says this, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, God of our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. What does that mean? The rest of Job's day, when he was healed, which he was, when his riches were restored, and they were, and he had the same amount of children. As a matter of fact, the Bible goes to tell us that God gave him double what he had. You say, well, not kids. Yeah, he did, because he knew where the other ones were. And so he was restored. I wonder if there wasn't somebody in Job's neighborhood gone to it. Their house burnt down. And Job could go up to them. He could put his arm around them and say, buddy, I know it's rough. How'd you like Job put his arm around you and say, hang in there. It's going to be all right. May not be all right for a day, a month, a year, a decade, but one of these old days, Medford, it's going to be all right. Sometimes we go through it not for ourselves but for others. So they can come to know Jesus. So they can be who God wants them to be and part of his plan. Remember this. Somebody paid the price to pay for where you're sitting this morning. Somebody paid the price to put a building here. Somebody paid the price before us back in the 80s to start this church. Somebody always pays the price ahead of us. And it's not always easy. It's not always fun, but I'm here to tell you, it'll get God's work done. He is the potter. We are the clay. We've got to remember that as we go through it, because you see, sometimes it's for me that I go through it. Sometimes it's for others, and sometimes it's just for God. You see, both in Isaiah and Jeremiah, it made one thing abundantly clear. God's the potter. And we're the clay. Sometimes he just does it because it doesn't seem we're helping anybody else. It doesn't seem to really impact our lives except make us miserable. But I'm telling you what, there's coming a day when we'll stand before him and we'll understand. Sometimes we just do it for him and we go through it for him. No explanation here. Sometimes God, when you say, why me? Sometimes he may answer you now, he may answer you later, but many times he won't answer until you get to heaven. And remember again, nothing can happen to us except with God's permission. In the New Testament, we have these words. Now, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. I told you before, there's a doctor at Vanderbilt. Some of us questioned him. It was, I think, on Channel 4 News. It's been a few years back. And was asking him about the different kinds of things they deal with. Here's what the doctor said. There's over 100,000 things that can kill us. Cheer up. This old life is not going to last here. But you're going to live forever somewhere. See, the second of conception, you became a living, eternal soul that is never going to die. True. You're either going to spend eternity in heaven with God or in hell below. But you are going somewhere after this life. This is not all it is. Madeline Murray O'Hare is the one that got the Supreme Court case brought forth to take God out of school. She was a flaming, child-abusing maniac. And the courts listened to her. You know what messed up her life more than anything? Jennifer, her son, was the one that was the case for taking God out of school back in the, I believe, the late 50s when she started into the 60s. Her son, who was raised by this woman, who said to him and to others, that when you die, you die. You're like an animal, a cow, or a dog. She was describing herself, I think. But you're dead, and that's it. Taught it to her son. And her son didn't swallow it. As a matter of fact, he gave his heart and life to Jesus and became a gospel preacher. In spite of her. And the effects of this one maniac spawned from hell still is keeping God out of our school. 60s, how many years is that? 50? 50-some years? What's it done for our country? Put us in a better place? How's that working for us? Ask the kids at Columbine how it's working. Ask the kids lately how it's working. 15-year-old in L.A. school, went in school, going to kill people. 15 years old. What a messed up world we're in. Why? Because people don't grasp that he is the potter and we are the clay. We are to be doing his plan, not our own thing. And when the pot, could you imagine the pot on the wheel all of a sudden sticking a leg out and saying, Talk about messing the pot up. Guess what it says the potter does? Behind the potteries of these places in the Bible that Isaiah was speaking about, that Jeremiah was speaking about, was a place called the potter's field. You know what was in the potter's field, Amanda? Broken pots that turned out wrong. They would be thrown out and just made it into trash. As a matter of fact, archaeologists have found these fields. You know what they're full of? Broken pots. They could have been useful implements. It's amazing that archaeologists, deep sea archaeologists, have gone down to Roman shipwrecks and found containers, clay containers, that still were sealed and had wine and grain in them because of the temperature and the depth, were still edible since Roman times. Because the potter that made that did such a good job and the seal was so good that it kept it like it was supposed to keep it. But in the potter's field were the ones that didn't turn out good, that wouldn't seal, that didn't sit right, that kind of jerked against the wheel, as it were, or had impurities in them, and wouldn't let the potter take care of it. So they just chuck them out the window. I'm going to be honest with you, Brenda, I don't want to be chucked out the window. I want to be used by God to the day I draw my last breath, and I want to still keep being used by Him after I'm gone. But God wants the same thing for you. It starts with a profession of faith in Christ and the desire to follow Him. Follow him how? First, I believe you ought to follow him in a believer's baptism. That's step one. Step two, God, what do you want me to do? And start with where you are. Bloom where you're planted. Find out what God wants you to do and do it. That doesn't get you to heaven. You ought to want to do something because you're going to heaven. Find out what it is that God has created you for. What is his plan for your life? It doesn't mean that you can't be the best body man on the planet. But you do it for his glory. Whatever it is he's got you to do, do it for his glory. He is the potter. We are the clay. Would you stand with me? Your head's bowed, your eyes closed. Now you chuckled at me, but I can't believe how foolish I felt when I looked over beside. He had whole rows of those pots. They were still green. They hadn't even been put in the kiln yet. And they were back on the shelf. That if I had just turned right here, I could almost stick my arm out and touch the finished product. And when I looked at them, some of them, the glaze that they used on some of it was gorgeous. It was beautiful. Beautiful. And see, you and I don't see what he's got for us yet. For some of you, you're in the kiln. That's where you get cooked. At high temperature, pulls out all the moisture and turns that clay into stone, as it were. And depending on the density of the clay is what kind of pot it is, whether it's some kind of almost like a porcelain texture or if it's a thick, heavy storage jar or a mixing bowl. But all of them have a purpose. Those of you that cook, your mixing bowls may not be much to look at, but you need them, don't you? I'm here to tell you, listen, let's let him be the potter and decide what we look like spiritually. Give ourselves to him and say, oh God, you are the potter and I am the clay. God, I want to be used of you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm going to ask Brian, if he will, to come and play. Father, as we bow before you, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house with your people. Help us to come to know you as Lord and Savior, Father, and then to have you truly as Lord and to direct our lives. God, you didn't say we were clay because you disrespect us. Because God, like Adam, you fearfully and wonderfully made us. He was pulled from the dirt. God, unfortunately, sometimes today we forget our uppings. We think we're high and mighty. We're all that, but God, all we are is glorified mud balls. We need you. We need you to turn us into the vessel you'd have us to be. Father, today, before my people, I surrender on your will. I surrender, God, to be the clay you'd have me to be, new and afresh. Whatever that is, wherever it is, whatever it looks like, God, I give myself to you. To you take me home. And I understand your ultimate purpose. Before I finish this prayer, maybe that's your prayer too, and you want to be used of him. Why don't you slip out from where you are and just kneel right here and say, God, you are the potter. I am the clay. I want to do your will. If that's you, why don't you slip out and come and just kneel and tell God that, God, you are the potter. I'm the clay. I know I'm on the wheel, God. I don't understand why, but God, I'm going to trust you. That's you. Why don't you come with others that are coming? Come right now and say, oh God, use me, show me, help me. As others come, you need to come. Come now. If you can't kneel, come sit on the front pew, but come. For some reason you can't get out right where you are, why don't you tell God, God, I really believe you are the potter, I am the clay. God, I give myself to you new and fresh. To be who you want me to be, to do what you want me to do. Oh, Father, we come before you as we come to this prayer, Father, and we ask you that you would take these that are here, Father, and speak to their hearts and help in the decisions they make. Those that are making those decisions right where they're standing, God, I'm asking you that you would use them, Lord, to be the vessel you would have them to be. God, help us to be clean vessels. Help us to be available vessels, God. Help us to be usable vessels. Oh, Father, we give ourselves to you and ask this in the name of Jesus. Father, you are so good. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, that you want God to use you to be the vessel he wants you to be, with heads bowed and eyes closed, all I want you to do is just raise your hand and put it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. All over the building. God bless you. God bless you. To be the vessel God would have you to be, God bless you. And as we go from this place today, don't forget the decision you made. And let God use you. And when it happens, and it will, as you get, why me, just halfway up your throat, realize, okay, God, I don't get it. Seems unfair to me, but I'm going to trust you. And God, I'm asking you to use this. If it's for me, Father, show me why. If it's for someone else, God, use it to help them. God, if it's for you, even if I won't find out why until I get to heaven, God, I'm going to trust you. Heads bowed and eyes closed, praying. I'm going to ask you again. He is the potter. Who are we? We are the clay. He is the potter. We are the clay. As we dismiss this morning, don't forget what the Lord has done and spoken in your heart. Be in prayer as God moves in the lives of people here at the church. As God moves in your life. I'm going to ask Medford, if he will, to dismiss us in prayer. Brother Medford.